Welcome everyone to the Game of Witches podcast. The Bright One here with
Cub Fan Forever from location.
We're on location today.
Yes, we are. About time.
It's pretty rare that you, me, and Sexy Rexy can be at the same time at the same place to do a podcast together. Unfortunately, Sexy Rexy is having dinner with his family for like an extra hour and a half than he promised.
So he was supposed to be here, and the three of us were going to be together and have a special edition of the three authors.
Yes.
Three to four.
So we're just going to do it without him. And we're going to bash him for like 10 minutes. And when he's going to come home and listen to this podcast, he's going to hear how much we hate him.
Oh, we don't, but yeah.
What happened? We were supposed to meet at like 2 or 3 or 4.
Well, first,
currently it's 6:35 p.m. on a Saturday.
We were going to meet at 2, and then it was 3 o'clock, and then it was 4 o'clock, and then it's 6 o'clock, and then now it's 6:35. And now we're just going to do this special edition of the two of us on location.
Absolutely.
So here we go.
So mainly we've been talking about the Cubs.
Yes, we have.
And what is it, the third straight incredibly disappointing season?
God.
Like, not just average. It's not like we're finishing close to 500. This is like the third straight year after trading DeRosa and letting go of Kerry Wood that we've just completely bottomed out.
And here's the thing. I mean, it's not like DeRosa and Wood were even like superstars, but they were just glue players. And I mean, since that, the Cubs have just devolved into what? I mean, a team with no direction, no game plan. Where are they going? Where are they headed? And it's just getting very disgusting to watch, especially after yesterday's game, where Malmo just came in, blew it in the eighth inning. And I know you didn't have a chance to see it, but I was talking to you on the phone, and it was just,
yeah, that you actually bring up a good point. Like, what has changed since 08 that everything went haywire? Because, I mean, yeah, I joke that we traded DeRosa and let go of Kerry Wood,
right.
But getting rid of two players isn't going to make that big a difference.
No.
It's been like a cascade of one move after the next where Hendry has just failed repeatedly, starting with Milton Bradley.
Yeah. Do you know when it has changed, actually? Every year, obviously, players keep changing hands every year after year. But the one constant that keeps changing is that the players he keeps bringing in and out, the direction of this team, he doesn't have a plan to actually get us better. I just feel like, and that's why I'm getting really frustrated, and you and I keep talking, is I feel like, where are we headed? I feel we're headed in the wrong path, because I feel like we're headed in this time still. If we don't have this plan to get better, you know, like the Marlins and some of these other teams, like, yeah, you know, they went through this youth movement to get better, and they got worse for a few years, but then they went, you know, a few steps in the right direction. I feel like we're not even close. We're going to be, you know, going for the next several years in the wrong direction.
Even a team like the Rays, who built themselves up from the minor leagues, they're still willing to trade a piece like a Garza.
Well, that's what I meant
to get even better for the future, even though they're already good. The Cubs, they're not good now. They have no aspirations of being good in the future, and we're not making any moves to try to get better in the future.
And that's why, I mean, as much as I hate to say it, who are our best players right now? Ryan Dempster. Carlos Marmol. You're making this face that our audience can't
see. Dempster with the 5-year ERA. Marmol with like the 10 straight blown saves.
Well, and that's our problem. Is obviously, we're one of the worst teams in the Major League Baseball. We have a terrible team. Our best players aren't even performing. So we don't even have much trade value out there. But whoever our best players are, which are the Ryan Dempsters, the Carlos Marmols, obviously our best player is Starlin Castro, who to me is the only guy you don't trade, but everyone else, you do have to trade now, and try to rebuild for the future.
Well, we know that Hendry's not going to get anybody back for anybody he trades.
That's the problem.
He doesn't know how to build a system.
No, he does.
He's basically made a career out of getting super lucky twice, with the trade for Ramirez and the trade for Derek Lee. Both of them came from two struggling franchises that couldn't pay. Obviously, he ripped them off, and the last one was in 2004, so he literally has done nothing in the past 7 years, if you ask me.
I totally agree. I mean, and look at some of the other guys that, you know, we traded just to get rid of, you know, Greg Maddux in the past, the Dodgers, Rua Cesar Asturias, Derek Lee, Ryan Terrio, you know, obviously Milton Bradley was just a dump, but, you know, and some of these other guys we trade off, we got nothing in return. You know, comes to mind, was it last year, the Astros traded Lance Berkman, and they got Brock Wallace, the first baseman, in return, I believe.
And then they traded him for another prospect.
Right, I mean, they've been getting, you know, and other teams get players in return that can help them. We get nothing.
Like, even last year, like, I thought a great trade was the Nationals traded Caps for Wilson Ramos.
Yeah.
They traded for a starting catcher who's going to start for 10 years.
Right.
We could never pull off a trade like that.
For a guy
ever.
They didn't need in Caps.
No.
Right.
So,
it's Bill Pound.
And we have a Marmol who's probably 2-3 times more valuable than Caps.
Oh, my
and
God.
And we couldn't get Wilson Ramos if we, like, begged for him.
And as much, you know, obviously, you know how much I love Carlos Marmol, but do we need a closure to finish games for us now when obviously we have the worst team in baseball?
We know that closers are a dime a dozen.
Right.
You can find a million to replace them.
Exactly.
I mean,
so we don't need a closure to finish games. What value is that going to bring one of the last place club? We don't.
No, you definitely don't rebuild.
It's a commodity.
You don't rebuild a struggling franchise with a closer. It's like, oh, we're going to turn ourselves around by overpaying for Jonathan Papelbon.
Right. And we're paying Malmo, what, like $13 million a year?
No, it's not that high. It's like 8 or 9.
Okay, $10 million?
Yeah, because actually me and DME,
okay,
we thought it was a pretty fair contract,
okay,
for a guy like Marmol. It wasn't crazy.
So maybe it's $10 million?
I think it's under 10, actually,
it's
like 8
gotta
or 9.
Be okay, but it's still a lot.
Actually, it might have been like 3 years, $20
million. Okay, 3 years, $20 million. But the whole point is we should get a lot in return for him.
Yeah, that was actually a decent contract for apparently an all-star reliever, although
okay,
he's not playing like that now.
This year. And, I mean, another point is closures do go up and down, up and down.
Yeah. You know,
so,
okay, let me throw you a little trivia out right
okay,
now.
Okay, let's go.
Who do you think, what closer right now is 24 for 24 in saves?
Ooh, right now?
Like, this is a guy who people were hating on 2 years ago.
Ooh, Leo Nunez.
No.
No.
Like, they thought he was the worst pitcher in the world. He even got traded. He was so bad.
Traded? Valverde?
No.
I'm going blank. Traded. He's going to be staring at me in the face. Is that Toronto?
No. He's actually in the NL Central.
The NL Central. It's not Francisco Cordero. It's... Oh, is it Pittsburgh's?
Yeah, Joel Hanrahan.
Wow.
24 for 24. And two
wow,
years ago in the Nationals, like, everybody thought he couldn't throw.
Wow.
So you can find closers anywhere.
That is...
Whatever. Toronto has 3 of them.
Right.
They have John Rausch. They have Dotel.
But
they
how many?
Frank Francisco.
But how many of them are going to be career closers? Most of them are just going to be
closers.
Right. Well,
closers.
That's the thing, yeah. That's the thing. But, I mean, so anyways, I mean, going back to it, I mean, the Cubs are just sort of going through the static phase, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what are they going to do to just, how long is the static phase going to go through? I mean, they need to have a plan, and as long as Henry's in charge, I feel like there's no way they're going to get back.
That's the common denominator. Like,
to me,
I don't
Kenny. They need to fire the president, fire the GM from top down. They need a clean house.
Well, you actually kind of got to work on the inside last year, so you do have, you know, more of a vision toward this than the rest of us, and you do verify our beliefs that the Cubs are inept in the front office.
Yeah.
I know you're a little hesitant to say anything because maybe somebody would actually hear this, but from what I've interpreted in the context of our conversation, you might believe that there's some incongruities when it comes to the hierarchy of the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, let's just say the Cubs need a clean house. There are a few people that I do like that should stay, like Tim Wilkin in scouting. I never met him personally,
mm-hmm,
but supposedly he is very good, and he's one of the, supposedly Wilkin in scouting, and then Oni Flita, who I just probably butchered his name, but supposedly those two guys is the whole reason why Henry's not getting fired. Supposedly because if Ricketts is very impressed with those two guys, and if he fired Henry, those two guys would walk with him. and that's the only reason he's not firing Henry, supposedly. If that's true or not. But I never met those two guys. But the other guys I have met, I have not been impressed with at all.
I don't have any affiliation with the Cubs, and I can freely say that I don't even like Ricketts. I don't like his personality, one, but forget the personality, that's feeble. I don't think he has the money. I don't think he has the money to run a franchise like the Cubs. Because you can't run the Cubs on, you know, dollar and cents.
Well,
you need to have the big bucks.
Well, he is trying to cut back the payroll, but I have nothing wrong with that because I don't think you need to have a payroll.
No, it's not about
the
payroll.
But he is trying to cut the payroll supposedly to around $120 million. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that because you shouldn't. I mean, a payroll should be fine around the $120 million.
The amount of money is not important.
Right.
You obviously want to spend it well.
Right.
But I don't think he has the money to spend it well.
But
if we do have a good team that requires $140 million, I don't feel like he can sustain that year to year. And the Cubs' attendance has been dropping, finally, for the past 2 years.
But it's been dropping because the product has been terrible.
Yeah.
I think he thought that no matter what, people would just come. But I think he forgot the biggest problem with that in his Fallon logic is that he didn't take into account is he needed to show people that he was going to care and put a stance behind winning. And by him not taking a stance, because when he came in, he said that after a year he was going to review everything and evaluate things. And then what did he do after a year? He came in and said he's going to do nothing and keep going with Henry in the same baseball operations and the same staff that we've been having for the past several years that's been putting on the same shitty team that we've been having. And what did that show to people? That he's fine with this.
I know it's early.
And that's what I think made the people not come.
I know it's early to make a definitive statement on this, but do you think he made a mistake in the manager he chose? Not just Quadi versus Sandberg, but any other candidate that could have been out there.
I think he might have in hindsight, but I actually do have a little inside information to Quadi's interview, and supposedly Quadi had a really good interview.
Okay.
And I don't know if I think we discussed this before, and supposedly Quadi had a really, really good interview. And supposedly I don't know too much about Sandberg's, to be honest, but supposedly Sandberg's interview was just okay. But supposedly Quadi's interview was just really good. And supposedly he put the Ricketts family, he turned the interview around a little bit. Did we talk about this before?
I don't think Quadi is an evil genius like that.
Well, no, not that it was an evil genius, but, like, supposedly he had, like, a book, and I forget the details, but supposedly he had, like, a book on, because, you know, Ricketts comes from a financial background, and he had, like, a book, and he asked him about it, and he just put Ricketts really at ease, and he didn't make it, like, a typical interview. You know, he took out the interview component of it. You know, Quadi's a very relaxed and calm guy.
Hasn't been like that recently.
Yeah, he has. But you remember last year when he took over.
Which, like, is why I liked him, but I don't see that anymore.
But when he had the interview, that's the personality he had. Because keep in mind last year. So when he went into that mindset, he went in, he was very laid back and very relaxed, there was this book on the desk, he started asking Ricketts questions about the book, nothing to do with baseball, something with stocks or investing or something, they started talking about the book, and Ricketts very calm and relaxed, they supposedly talked about that for a while, so supposedly, when I say turned it around, it wasn't your typical interview, he had supposedly, it was a really good interview. He had a really good picture and image of Quadi and his skills. Well, supposedly, you know, the same things about Sam would just kept coming up. Is he going to be too quiet?
Let me say this. Maybe that crap works in the business world. The getting along, the buddy-buddy, the whatnot. How does that correlate to winning baseball games? I don't understand.
Well, it impressed the owner that got him a job, and that's all that obviously really mattered. It impressed the guy who pays your checks, that hired him, and he thought he would be a good leadership role. And obviously, I mean, Quadi took over last year. And I mean, first of all, Henry picked Quadi over bringing up Sandberg to take the manager. He picked Quadi, who was the third base coach, over making Alan Trammell the interim manager. Not saying that Trammell would have been your permanent manager, but, you know, typically Trammell would have been a choice to just, you know, be the interim manager for the season. But obviously, Henry, who, you know, is a whole nother story, had more faith in Quadi for the rest of the season to give him that insight.
Yeah,
back.
But last year, Quadi, he was playing with house money. He had nothing to lose.
He didn't.
He could only go up.
That's
he
true.
He didn't have to. It doesn't feel like your life is dependent on it. No, he was just doing his thing that he usually does, and they happened to win some games. Whether it was because of him or not, nobody will know. Maybe what changed was just getting rid of Pinella and not necessarily the presence of Quadi, right? And this year, I think almost from the beginning, you saw a much different Quadi. Because suddenly it's his job, the wins and losses are on him, you know, and it, you know, you sink or you float with Quadi. And he's obviously had a change in personality. He's no longer kidding around and smiling. Dude is super serious. His browless eyebrows are always, like, crunched in. I can't even watch his post-game interviews, not that I watch the games anymore, but I feel like I would much prefer Sandberg, and I think I would prefer Sandberg at the time as well, if you remember our conversation.
Yeah, you did,
because,
you always...
I mean, there is something to say about keeping tradition, and Sandberg, you know, it's not like he just came out of the, you know, TV box and he's going to manage.
No,
he put in his time in the minors, like
too.
4 years in the minors.
What if, I mean, but...
Apparently he, like, his personality developed because Sandberg's a very quiet guy and he needs someone to be able to come across.
Right.
And apparently he did that.
Yeah.
And we just let him walk away from us. And who knows if he's ever going to come back. One of the all-time great Cubs.
Right.
And we lost him. Like, what was the point of, you know, signing Maddux to be an assistant to the GM? If you're just going to treat Ryan Sandberg that way.
Right. I mean,
Sandberg is more of a Cub than Maddux is.
But that is
Sandberg
true.
Never played for another team.
That's true. That is true. And here's the thing, and that's one of the things, when Ricketts came in as an owner, he kept saying, oh, here I am, I'm a Cubs fan. You know, I grew up watching them in the bleachers, compared to people who didn't want Mark Cuban or other people coming in who weren't Cubs fans, because the Ricketts family claimed they needed tradition, they knew all this stuff, they were Cubs fans in-house like the rest of us, and then they don't hire Sandberg.
Well, I doubt Mark Cuban grew up as a Dallas Mavericks fan.
I know.
But tell me a bigger Dallas Mavericks fan than Mark Cuban.
Oh, I know.
You know, so...
Well, watching him
and Ricketts,
the NBA championship.
I mean, I've seen Ricketts, I mean, you've seen him plenty of times. I've even seen him walk the upper decks in the stadium, and he just comes across as a salesman, shaking your hand, giving you a big smile. I don't find it legit. I don't feel like he has the money. I don't know if he has the baseball insights to actually run a baseball team.
I've seen Ricketts firsthand, and he definitely... He's a very good business person. I just don't, and I know he knows baseball, but honestly, I don't know how much of the baseball end of business he honestly gets. I don't know if he really gets the two together. I really don't know if he does.
I don't care about the I don't care about the business part. I care about it. But the thing
is, it goes together.
Think,
it really does divide.
Like
one.
For him to get rid of, you would think like a new owner comes in, he would want to get his own guy in as GM. But Ricketts doesn't have guys yet. He doesn't know the people, you know, in baseball. Who's he going to get?
But that's the thing. It goes beyond that. Obviously, he doesn't have his own guys. And that's understandable. But it goes beyond that because he needs to get the people to trust him. And he needs... Okay, first of all, did he really trust Henry? How could you trust Henry? If you're a fan from watching him the past several years, how could you trust what he's been doing?
That is an easy answer.
How?
Same thing like you described to us how Quadi got to Ricketts in the interview talking about the book. Who's a bigger people person than Jim Hendry?
And they do have the Omaha connection.
They got the Omaha connection. They probably hugged it out. And they're probably best of buds.
See, they both come from the
best. And that's probably what Ricketts is used to in the business world.
Yeah.
Having people you can trust, even though they might not be the most...
And that's why the fans
skilled.
Have left, because they couldn't take that he's just come in and he's accepting this. And that's why the fans have left.
Right. So,
because they thought he would come in and shake things up. And even if he really doesn't have, you know, baseball people to trust, it's his job to go out and find who those baseball people are. And, you know, recently, a few months ago, people asked him about this. And he said, well, I'm not going to go and bring in baseball people to put on top of baseball people. But the whole point is, he needs to find baseball people to bring in to replace Henry. Not baseball people to bring in on top, but baseball people instead of Henry. And that's the problem.
Absolutely. So, Sexy Rexy has finally showed up.
What's crack-a-lackin', everybody?
Oh, thanks for ruining the podcast.
I know, come on.
This has actually been one of the most heartfelt, insightful podcasts we have ever done.
And we've been doing it exclusively on the Chicago Cubs, mostly because, you know, Sexy Rexy
isn't here to mess it up.
And he's not a Cubs fan, because he's a completely White Sox fan.
So I think the testosterone has gotten a little high. We're going to put an end to this conversation for now.
And he was one of our best Cubs topics.
And possibly we might start another one, a worse one, with Sexy Rexy.
Oh, I think I'm a little bit bitter. Oh, I wanted to hang out
you
earlier.
Know, sometimes the booth isn't big enough for three people.
All right. So thanks for listening to our topic on the Chicago Cubs.
Right. So for TBO, for Cubs fan, for Sexy Rexy.
At the end.
Do you have something about science antibodies?
Yeah, those are actually my OBGYN practice questions in the background.
Okay, that's a sign we need to wrap this thing up.
So we are out.